Hey friends, I'm Ashley.
Hey you guys, I'm Lainey.
And this is Haunted Real Estate.
Well, hello there.
Hello.
How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm a little, what's the word for it?
Tired.
Yes, but a little disturbed from last night's wedding. It wasn't a wedding. It was a reception with Alan and our stepdad and his wife. And let's just say there was some weird songs and dancing there.
Oh. I was like, what was disturbing?
My neck, my back, you know the rest of the words.
Yeah. When you see, like, grown-ups, you know, like when you're a grown-up, but then you consider, like, a different level of grown-up, and you're like, oh, okay, so this is where the grown-up side of the party takes over.
Yes.
Bye, kids. We gotta go now.
Yes, exactly.
God, they liked those engineers. They're wild.
They're wild, man. That was fun, though. But, yeah, I'm a little tired. Hopefully we get through this in one piece. Yeah, let's go for it.
All right. So, who brings us today's episode?
So, Krista, she actually emailed us a couple stories. We are looking into your stories. Do intend to write something, but you brought me to Ohio. So we're going to be talking about the Ohio State Reformatory.
Alrighty.
Or better known as the Shawshank Redemption Prison.
Ooh.
Yes. So it was formerly known as the Mansfield Reformatory. The historic prison opened in 1886 and is nearly 130 years old.
Wow.
The origins of the OSR date back to the 19th century. Mansfield was suggested as a site that would be suitable for a new penitentiary. The new facility cost around $1.5 million to build, including the purchase of the land which it was built, but construction took over 20 years due to funding delays.
Oh, wow.
So I can't imagine being that person in a field like, this is a great place for a reformatory.
Yeah.
And then wait.
You always wonder, like, how they decide that, too.
Yeah.
Like, this is the land.
This is the land for it. And then 20 years later.
And then, yeah, a vision that takes 20 years.
That sounds like too long for me.
Not that patient.
No, but I would also build a prison that would fall apart, you know?
Yeah. Just made of straw.
Yes. The reformatory was meant to be an intermediate between the boys' industrial school at Lancaster and the Ohio Penitentiary. The point was to rehabilitate first-time offenders who weren't yet hardened criminals. It became a maximum security facility in 1946. The reformatory is known to house some of the country's most violent ghosts and is considered one of the eeriest abandoned places in Ohio and America.
Mm. Okay, so it is just completely abandoned, or do they do, like, tours?
They do tours.
Okay.
Today. The prison closed in 1990 after nearly 100 years, during which time 1,504 inmates called it home. The conditions here were very simple or basic. A cell, while in the reformatory was operating, would have contained a desk, a stool, 2-foot lockers, and 2 bunk beds. That brings us to one of the most haunted areas in the building, the east cell block. The cell block has 6 tiers and about 50 cells on each range. Originally, the cells on this block housed 1 inmate each, but due to overcrowded conditions,
Isn't that always the story? There's always overcrowding.
I know. And to think some of these people, like, probably don't even deserve to be in prison.
Yeah. Something like minor offenses that they're in there for an obscenely long time for.
Yeah.
And now you have people committing violent crimes that are in there for an obscenely short time.
Exactly.
Like, oh, okay. Yeah. 3 months was good for rape. Thanks.
Yes, exactly.
And this was probably like stole a candlestick and 3 years in jail.
Yeah. Ugh.
Times have changed. Terrible.
Have they? I don't know.
Well, that's a change. That was much more like offensive than to steal something like really minor. And yeah. Now it seems like you get out over nothing.
True. The reformatory was especially overcrowded in the 1920s due to prohibition and becoming even more overcrowded in the 1930s during the Great Depression.
Mm-hmm.
This place was heading towards a disaster slowly but surely. The highest committed crimes of inmates at the reformatory began during this time period were robbery, burglary, larceny, and auto stealing. The average yearly population in 1934 was 3,500 men.
That's a lot.
That is
prisoners
a lot
to deal with. I wonder how many guards they had to work with those that amount of prisoners, because that's a lot of people. It's a lot of mouths to feed too.
That's tough. I imagine it's like one guard for every 100.
Oh my god, that I hate that ratio.
I know.
That's awful.
I don't know. I could be very wrong. That is not fact. The severe overcrowding led to declining conditions and ultimately numerous deaths. Violent, tortured deaths. The most infamous tale of this prison involves the hole, a small cell which prisoners were held for 3 days when they were being punished. Several sources have reported that at one time there were two inmates held in the hole, and by the end of the 3 days, only one made it out alive.
Oh, gosh. Well, what were they doing in the hole?
That was like their solitary confinement.
But they'd put two prisoners in there together?
Mm-hmm. And it was just such a tight space.
So it wasn't like they were being thrown in for like someone to kill the other, but it was like putting in two people together?
I would say the latter, yes, putting in two people together, but I could see like guards betting or something on one of the guys and just see who makes it out alive.
Wow.
I'm sure there's different scenarios.
Yeah, it's just cruel.
That is cruel. The prisoners pushed their enemies from high tiers of the western cell block, slit each other's throats, set themselves on fire.
Oh, God.
Poisoned themselves with paint thinner, and in one gruesome instance, an inmate was completely gutted when he was sliced from his hip to his lower jaw by a cellmate.
Oh.
That is a graphic image.
That is a graphic image. Also, like, where are they getting these weapons from?
Right?
Who knows? Like, setting yourself on fire. Like, I know that they smoke oftentimes in prison, but I guess I didn't assume they had lighters or things to light somebody.
Yeah, like
anything to ignite a fire on somebody, you know? Because, like, you don't just, like, poof into flames if, like, somebody were to throw a match at you. Like, it would be a little slower. But,
yeah.
So, oh, God.
I know. It's weird to think about, but I'd rather not. By the mid-1970s, conditions at the prison were so bad that the Council for Human Dignity filed a lawsuit against the state of Ohio.
When was this?
1970s.
Okay. Jeez, that took a while.
I know. They filed a lawsuit and they cited inhumane and brutalizing treatment of inmates. One of the more well-known deaths occurred at the reformatory. Wasn't of a guard.
We're doing this in the morning, and we never record in the morning. So it's a little extra, okay? It's hard to be motivated.
It wasn't a guard or an inmate, but of the warden's wife, Ellen Glatke.
Oh.
Arthur Glatke was a warden of the OSR from 1935 until 1959. As it was customary at such institutions, Glatke lived in the warden's quarters of the prison with his wife and two sons. They led a seemingly normal life until tragedy struck on the morning of November 5th, 1950. As Helen was preparing for the Sunday's Mass, she went to retrieve a hat box. I don't know why I said hat box.
Hat box.
From the upper shelf of the closet. Unbeknownst to her, the warden had placed his .32 caliber pistol on the same shelf for safekeeping. The gun hit the floor, discharging, and Helen Glatke was shot through the lung.
Oh, gosh.
Doesn't that remind you of True Lies when she drops the gun? And it just goes
like goes off.
Off
everywhere.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. That scene is, and I know we've talked about specifically that scene before too, but it's like hilarious. And at the time, it just made you feel like guns were
extra dangerous.
Like if you drop it, it's just gonna be like like shoot everybody in the room.
Yes.
Like, oh, okay. Like also how we thought quicksand was just like everywhere. I could accidentally walk into quicksand in my yard.
I haven't thought about that in so long. That's so scary.
But I love watching movies like from the 90s because it's like quicksand is in
everywhere.
A lot of movies, and it made you believe that that was like a real problem.
Yeah, the quicksand.
All the quicksand. I'm just going to walk out of my yard and my dog's going to be sinking in quicksand.
Oh my gosh. Thank goodness it's not.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, I'm not that knowledgeable on quicksand, but I think it's also like, not only is it not very common, but it's also very, very, very slow.
Yeah.
But anyway, maybe if someone knows more on quicksand, feel free to tell me different.
It's probably like really common in some areas of the world. And they're like, oh, yeah, that's an issue.
I lost half my family to quicksand. That would be so terrible.
You're laughing.
I'm laughing because I find it so hard to believe. Now that I know more about quicksand than I did 30 years ago, I'd like to think it's not a problem.
Yeah, I doubt it.
Like, quicksand takes one person every 10 years, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, that makes more sense. 2 years later, she died at Mansfield General Hospital.
It took her 2 years?
2 days later.
Oh, you did say years, right?
I guess I did. I'm so sorry.
I was like, she was in the hospital for 2 years with a bullet?
That would be tragic. Okay. Yeah, 2 days two later. Days.
Okay, suffered a lot less.
Yes.
But so I'm sure, sorry, that I didn't mean to make that sound callous, but that does sound better, than two years.
Yes.
Well, that's really devastating.
Yeah. So this is where things get a little juicy. Rumors went around that Helen had caught her husband having an affair with a member of the prison staff and that she was planning to drag his name through the mud in a very public divorce.
Oh, gosh.
Now, I don't know. It doesn't say who he was having an affair with, but I can't imagine there's that many female on the prison staff.
Yeah.
It's definitely a thought. Could be a nurse or something. But
it's a thought. And that, I mean, if it wasn't a female for the time, I'm sure that was, like, especially upsetting to her.
Yeah.
And maybe embarrassing just because she's a woman.
Yeah.
But either way, I mean, it's sad that it ended that way.
It is. But it does bring the question of, did the gun actually fall from the shelf or was it murder? Is this all unsubstantiated gossip? Very possibly.
I just don't understand, because if it falls off the shelf, it's this trigger still has to be. I mean, I know there's like misfires and things like that. And even though we're from Texas, we're not all like gun nuts, just FYI. So I don't have all the knowledge on guns. But like, I feel like the trigger still has to be pulled unless it's just like a completely faulty gun.
Yeah.
That it's hard to be like, it fell off the shelf and it shot, you know, it shot her.
Yeah.
And if you say that to a jury of other people that don't know guns very well, like, that sounds believable.
Well, Arthur never even went to court on it, so.
Okay.
Sounds like he was free and clear.
Okay. Well, hope he didn't do it. Hope it was an accident.
Yes. We do know that Arthur Gladke never remarried, and 9 years later, he suffered a fatal heart attack in the same room where his wife had been shot.
Wow.
So we know that visitors to the warden's quarters often notice the scent of Helen's rosewater perfume and the smell of the warden's tobacco smoke.
You wonder if, like, sorry, this is far-fetched and I'm completely making it up, but since he died in the same room where she was shot, did, like, her ghost come back and scare him and he had a heart attack?
That would be really interesting.
That's what kind of came to my mind, is that, like, she came and was like, boo. Is somebody knocking or is that a dog? That's a dog.
Okay.
Scratching themselves and hitting the door doing it. Oh, my gosh. We only have 6 dogs here in the house with us right now, so. Also, FYI, I want to point out that Lainey's dog might have been barking in the entire last episode, and we just kind of got to a point where we stopped hearing it, and if it's in the background, our bad, but her dog has serious, like, abandonment issues, and if Lainey walks out of sight, she freaks out.
She does. It's very annoying.
And she just does not stop barking, and so at some point, you know, we're like, I don't even hear it anymore, but that might have been in the recording.
It's weird. We'll find out. When I leave, like, my house, she doesn't bark.
Do you know that, though?
I do from my last house. I mean, I've lived in this house for a while, but I asked Anna if she ever barked.
Oh, okay.
She said no. I guess I could ask my neighbor now.
I mean, I guess if they have your number, they would call you if it was, like, nonstop.
Yeah, I'd hope so.
Well, maybe that's why she really barks, because she knows, like, you're inside and she's outside and
so
she's
close,
not okay
so
with
far.
It. Yeah, exactly. She's like, hello, you forgot me.
Well, back to the story.
I'm sorry.
Talk about my dog. Talking smack. Some have heard or seen full apparitions of the couple, though never together. Aside from the smells, sounds, and sightings, people also get touched here and there, hit or scratched.
Do we need to be doing that in the afterlife? Like, let's not even touch people.
I know, I hate that.
In the afterlife. when I was listening to something the other day and he was talking about something poking his cheek at night, and I was just like, ew. Could you not be poking my cheek at night?
Yeah, that's really strange.
Like, that is really freaky. It was a story about the Queen Mary and staying in room B340, I think it was.
Yeah.
And yeah, he was being poked in the cheek at night. I was like, okay, no, but please don't touch me.
Yeah. It's like he's taunting me, or he's just trying to see if he can touch me, and then he finds out and he doesn't stop.
Yeah, I know. He's like, oh my God, look at those squishy cheeks. I can feel them. And he keeps going.
They're so squishy. The hauntings at the OSR go back to a time before the prison even existed. In the years that predated the concept of a reformatory, a Civil War training camp existed on the grounds. Camp Mordecai Bartley had only been open for business for a couple of months in the late spring of 1861 when a soldier began complaining of terrifying visits from unearthly spirits.
Oh.
I love the name Camp Mordecai Bartley, by the way.
You know, when we say unearthly spirits, if I say earthly spirits, is it not still talking about spirits on earth? Unearthly spirit sounds like alien ghosts, kind of.
I think earthly spirit is a person or
it's a living
animal.
Person.
Yeah. I mean, we don't say that, but I think if you did, it wouldn't be weird.
Interesting. Sometimes I really like to analyze words and like, kind of sounds like you're talking about something not of, I mean, you are talking about something not of earth, like not living.
Well, I'm a bad person to analyze words because I make a lot of wordly mistakes.
Wordly mistakes.
Yes. They're of the wordly kind.
I don't speak good.
These visitations left the soldier so horrified that he deemed unfit for duty and was sent to asylum to recover. It turned out that the soldier would be the first of many to experience the supernatural at Camp Mordecai. At first, war trainees and officials began noticing a trend of missing or relocated items that defied explanation. Defied explanation, not defined.
Oh, mm-hmm.
Then soldiers started experiencing unusual ammunition failures when practicing at a certain quadrant of the camp. Before long, it was common for all based at the Camp Mordecai to report hearing whispers and muffled voices where there should only be silence. In the northeastern corner of the training ground, recruits often reported hearing voices that would emanate from the ground, causing them to question their sanity.
I'm sure.
Yeah. While it's unclear who or what haunted Camp Mordecai, it is clear that the events experienced by its residents went above and beyond the normal wartime stress-induced hallucinations in which, I can't speak, in both frequency and consistency. So sorry. But that reminds me, I was listening to an episode of, I think it was Mr. Ballin, but, they flew in a group of guys to take over a camp for like 6 weeks at a time.
Mm-hmm.
They would like change out the group every 6 weeks, and they went there and they were totally fine up until like the last couple of days. And then a bunch of bombs went off and like, it was total war zone, but it turned out like it wasn't at all. It was just ghosts making these sounds.
Oh.
And like everybody was fighting and they were shooting off at something and they were, you know, hiding in trenches and, you know, their lives were at stake and nobody died. But
so it was like a kind of like a shared delusion kind of thing. Like, yeah. Everyone's sharing the same experience. That's wild.
Yeah. Super weird.
My God. Sorry, that's just another intense scratching by one of the dogs. Trying to bring the whole house down with that one.
Yes. Modern hauntings at the OSR are so vast in their manifestations and locations that have an exhausting listing would be exhausting.
Yeah.
That was a well-written sentence.
That was a really well-written sentence.
Visitors have experienced everything from camera malfunctions to mysterious voices to violent attacks.
Camera malfunctions are the most annoying. Like, let me prove that you exist, please.
Right?
Stop freaking messing with my camera, and then no one's going to believe anything I say later.
Well, they don't like technology.
Well, you know what? I appreciate it. I was actually trying to think of what my thought was. I was getting defensive, but I didn't have a defense.
That's what the morning does to you.
Yeah, sorry.
Mysterious voices to violent attacks and sightings of solid apparitions throughout the building. Shadow figures and unexplainable footsteps would walk around in the prison. Wandering the halls of the building, it's not difficult to imagine the fear and violence that those who were incarcerated here experienced on a daily basis. Texas. The chapel is one of the most active areas in Mansfield Prison in terms of paranormal activity. It's often thought to be the central point for hauntings. There could be a very good reason why. Before the chapel was converted, it was actually where prisoners were executed. It is very common for visitors to capture strange light and anomalies in the photographs taken here, and there have been lots of unexplained noises from the room. In most reports, spirits have been seen lingering in the doorways from the corner of your eye, but will vanish if you turn to look at them directly.
That's a shadow figure for you.
Right? Some visitors have recently reported being grabbed by the spirits, but it's not a very common occurrence.
You know, I saw a shadow figure the other day of what I swore was Gary, my cat that ran away February 2023. Yeah. And I was like, wait, what does that mean? Does that mean I'm crazy? Or does that mean, like, he's deceased and he's, like, running around here?
I don't know. I don't like to think of him dead, but...
Yeah, Gary ran away over a year ago now, so literally have no idea where he went. No sign of him. No one's seen him, so...
That's really sad.
But anyway, the shadow figure kind of weirded me out, because I was like, what does that mean? Why did I see that?
She's just saying, hey, he's good.
That's fine. Maybe he is.
As you might expect, a large number of inmates passed away in the prison infirmary over the years. Some would have died from illness and disease, but others being injuries sustained during torture or to a beating from guards and fellow inmates. There are claims that it was very common for patients in the infirmary to go for days without any care from the medical staff.
Oh, I hate that.
I know.
I hate thinking of, like, people that are, like, very ill or injured or whatever, and then you can't get into the doctor or whatever for a really long time.
Yeah.
Or just being not cared for.
And, like, it sounds like they were forgotten and just, like, forgot to feed you. Oh, no, you're dead.
That is so cruel. And, again, for a lot of these people, I'm sure we're not talking about real violent crimes.
Yeah.
You're talking about people that maybe did have a chance of being reformed, and now they're just, like, in this torturous situation.
I know, they're just wasting away.
Yeah, that's what sucks. I hate, like, prisons are really tough to do, because even though you feel like you're talking about criminals, like, not all criminals are the same.
Yeah.
And not all criminals are violent or murderers or rapists. Like, they come in a lot of different shapes and sizes and colors. And yeah, so it's just really sad to think, like, in general, that they're so mistreated in a system that is supposed to be reforming them. To put them back on the street to hopefully, like, have a normal life after that. And how are you supposed to in these kind of conditions where you're starving and malnourished and, you know, not getting medical treatment when you need it?
Exactly. Some of the neglected that starved to death, it was because they were too weak to fight off other patients that were stealing their food when there was no supervision from the staff. This is not at all surprising that there are a lot of reports of paranormal activity here, most commonly unexplained gusts of wind and disembodied moaning, which I hate, disembodied moaning.
Yeah.
Not that I've heard it. I just hate the thought of it.
Yeah. No, I do too. And why? Why is that the sound?
Why?
Like, I think we talked about that before, like, if they were moaning in real life, it makes sense, but, like, would I go into the afterlife just being like, oh. Like, why is that the choice?
We cannot explain these things. I don't know.
I know. I just wonder. Just wonder a lot of things.
No, I do too. The library is also said to be haunted, but not by a former inmate. Visiting psychics have suggested that the spirit here is actually of a young woman named Helen. Records indicate that this could be the ghost of a former prison nurse who was murdered by inmates many, many years ago. The basement of the prison is said to be home to one particular spirit, a 14-year-old boy who was allegedly beaten to death down there.
What? Right? Is he in jail?
I don't think so, but I don't know why he would be in the basement. Maybe he was dad.
Or, yeah, like, maybe he was with a staff member or something, or, like, worked at the prison. Who knows?
Yeah, true. 14 was of age, you know, a couple years ago. Okay. He's been seen lingering in the shadows of the basement with some frequency. On occasions, there have also been reports of a guard in the basement, too. He's said to give off a very
sinister vibe.
It's a new one. Sinister vibe, suggesting that he is one of the many malevolent ghosts said to haunt Mansfield Prison. The chair room, named after the sole piece of furniture in it, holds a very dark spirit within the walls.
Like, I know exactly what it looks like when you say that.
The chair room? Just a chair?
Yeah, but I know it's, like, a cemented floor. It's, like, dark and dusky, and it, like, looks like a barbershop chair.
Yeah.
Like, that's, I know exactly what it looks like.
This chair can be heard scraping on the floor when no one is in the room, and a paranormal hunter receives scratches from the ghost as he sat in the chair.
Oh, okay, so I was going to ask if the chair was actually still there.
Yeah. Supposedly, the ghost dislikes the chair being moved by human hands. He moves it to the center of the room, or when you move it to the center of the room, it makes him mad, and he will push it back to the same creepy corner that it sat in for years.
Oh, so is that the scratching sound you hear, or is that the sound of the chair scraping? Because he literally is scraping it?
Maybe. Just it said whenever you move it to the center, he'll move it back. So
why wasn't it in the center to begin with if it's the only piece of furniture?
He wants it in the creepy corner.
Well, when you have one piece of furniture, I mean...
It belongs in the corner, Ashley. Don't try to rearrange.
Who am I to tell him how to feng shui his one piece of furniture in the room? Sorry.
Exactly. The prison cemetery located near the building contains the bodies of at least 200 prisoners killed within the reformatory walls.
Killed or just died?
It says killed. But then we have here, some died of disease, others at the hands of prison guards, or their fellow prisoners, or even at their own hands. So.
Okay. Okay. So some died of illnesses, some committed suicide, some... I'm sure we're killed, yeah.
Yes. The cemetery is reportedly hard to photograph, as most cameras stop working once the visitors set foot on the grounds, and small items like the metal grave markers move up and down on their own, probably under the power of unseen hands.
Oh, is that what we assume is happening?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
The East Cell Blocks were once listed in the Guinness Book of World Records for being the largest freestanding group of cells. That has no interest to me, and as far as Guinness Book of World Records go, like...
There's some weird world records out there.
There really is.
Actually, this is just came up last week in the office, but our broker was talking to Casey about being in the world record for the longest open house, in which case he'd have to sleep there. I was like, wait, what? She said it at a meeting, like, that he was doing this, and I was like, what? He's sleeping at an open house? What?
How long is the open house for?
Usually they're like 2 to 4 hours. And so that's a normal open house. I don't know what the record would be. Probably overnight, though. It would be a long open house.
That's so random.
Like why cares? Is that in the Guinness Book?
Yeah. I mean, they'll take anything.
Of course, my question is like, who are the dodos that are doing these things? And then like, oh, might be my husband. That's cool. Have fun with that. We all got to hang our hat on something.
Yes. So yeah, the Guinness Book of World Records for the largest freestanding group of cells, whatever that means.
What an accomplishment, you guys.
I know. One of these spirits, because there are, of course, ghosts in here. One of these spirits belonged to a man who set himself on fire on his cell. He apparently doused himself with kerosene and lit a match.
Why are you getting that much kerosene to be able to even do that? Like, what is readily available to these guys?
That is a great question. I would love to know the answer when you find out.
I mean, I wouldn't even say, like, if there was kerosene sitting there, that the danger is like, oh, shit, someone's going to set themselves on fire. It's also like setting the prison on fire.
Yeah.
A guard on fire. Like, have some freaking safety protocols.
Right? That's why I think that there's probably not enough guards. Like, there's got to be an overwhelming amount of people per guard.
If I worked in a prison, I feel like I'd be so hyper-focused on anything that can be a weapon or some kind of danger to anybody, not just myself. That I'd be like, oh, that kerosene, I should probably pick that up, because why would they need access to that?
Yes. Man, I do not want to work in a prison. Just like Orange is the New Black or anything I've seen prison-wise. Like, it just, they figure out how to bring in weapons. They figure out how to get people killed.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot with that. Even so, I think alternatively, it's not just worrying about the prisoners, but it's also seeing mistreatment.
Yeah.
And to me, that would be really hard too, is like seeing somebody who is trying to better their life, somebody who is trying to reform. And then you have guards, who are just treating them like garbage and just furthering the situation. And so I feel like it'd be hard to work with prisoners for me personally. And then it would be hard to work with people who are being jerks. Like in the teaching world, it was a lot like that too.
Yeah. Where I was going to say you deal with the bad kids, but is that like your limit? I don't
like to call them that. but yeah, I mean, sometimes it's the kids and sometimes you're like, you know, they need extra help or love or whatever. Cause I mean, they're only with me for, you know, they were only with me for a short period of time. Sorry, I just totally lost my train of thought. But you know, a lot of times like meeting the parents, you would realize why they are the way they are.
Mm-hmm.
But then you'd also see other teachers who are just like making it worse.
Yeah.
I'm just like, that's so frustrating. Or ones that are like, you know, so-and-so is so mean. They did X, Y, and Z to me, you know, like, and I get kicked out. I get sent here and there. And I'm just like, okay, are we actually making this situation better? It just seems like constantly trying to like motivate, you know, this kid or whoever. And there's just so many people working against the situation. But anyway, that's a little.
Well, I understand why you retired from teaching.
It gets exhausting, like emotionally, spiritually, mentally, physically draining.
Yeah.
It's tough.
It sounds like it.
Anyway, so now I'm in real estate and a podcaster. So here I am.
Here you are. By the time the guards got to him, it was too late and his skin had already been falling off in chunks.
Oh, gross.
Chunks.
Glad we jumped right back into this kerosene story and I didn't realize there was more to it.
He haunts the cell where he died, sometimes showing himself to visitors. The stairs leading to the guard tower are haunted by unseen entities who push visitors. And
that's freaking rude.
Yeah, they're not like love taps or anything either. They'll push you. I remember my Australia story had, I forgot what you said. It made me laugh so hard. But I said she had like a stick or something in her hand and she would like push people down the stairs.
What the hell?
I know you wouldn't want to face that person.
No, I don't want that in the afterlife. No. I don't want to feel that in life.
I know. I don't want to.
God, what jerky people.
Yeah. Disembodied voices also permeate the area, but they pale in comparison to the entities strong enough to violently shove grown men up and down the stairs. Add in the stairs' sleep and rickety structure, steep and rickety structures. Sleep.
Someone is tired.
That's a typo. There's nothing heavenly about this stairway. The road leading to the prison is said to be haunted by the ghost of an eccentric woman named Phoebe Wise. While alive, Wise endured a great deal of hardship, surviving multiple robberies to her home.
What?
Which I'm like, multiple?
Girl, move!
Or, like, you do live by a prison, so maybe
are
not.
These, like, constant escape prisoners that are going and robbing her house?
It doesn't say who, but I've got to guess it's something like that.
Well, yeah, because honestly, it would be really weird if people that weren't prisoners were robbing her house and they were choosing to go near the prison to do this.
Right?
It's a little too convenient, so I don't see that happening. But what do I know?
She even killed a stalker that was on her doorstep.
A stalker?
Uh-huh. So after years of terrible circumstances, Wise became a hermit, and with all the local children branding her a witch. According to folklore, she appears at the side of the road to people heading towards the reformatory, sometimes going so far as to hitch a ride until she disappears before their very eyes.
Like getting in the car, she disappears?
Mm-hmm.
That's really creepy.
I hate hearing stories like that, like the lonely lost girl, like who,
like a single woman that just gets branded a witch.
I know.
Like, why? I mean, I am glad today that single women aren't assumed to be a witch.
There I go.
Switching away. Witch. Yeah, it's such a weird thing. You assume because they're single, like, well, then they must be married to the devil and practice, you know, conjuring up stuff over there. That's a leap.
Nobody loves me.
Like, they just, for whatever reason, didn't get married. Why does that mean they have to be, like, working with the devil?
Right.
The two don't relate. Lainey's just hanging out with her dog, not practicing witchcraft.
Exactly. Besides, if any of us were a witch, it would be you.
Okay,
You've got your whole cabinet of...
My apothecary.
Yes.
I love my tinctures and my herbs.
You sure do.
I am a garden witch.
Yeah, I like that term. Yeah. That sounds friendly.
I actually thought of this the other day, but I thought it was too weird to say it. But now it seems like a good time to tell you that I think of myself as like a garden witch and you're like a kitchen witch.
Interesting.
So, you know what? We can be witchy, but it doesn't mean that we have to be doing anything to harm other people or anything like that.
I like that. I'm a kitchen witch.
Yeah.
The Ohio State Reformatory is open for general tours most days from 11 to 4. There's also public ghost walks where you can tour reported paranormal hotspots. During the public ghost walks, you'll be guided on a two-hour tour and see the most active hotspots. You can also hear murderous tales that could have led to the supposed hauntings. And for more of a hands-on exploration of the paranormal, you can register for the public ghost haunts.
Mm.
And that, my friends, is the story of Ohio State Reformatory.
That's interesting. Shawshank.
Shawshank, I know. The building itself is actually gorgeous. Like, it looks like a castle.
Yeah.
You just wouldn't think. That's one of the most haunted and disturbing, now closed prisons because of all its dark history.
Yeah. Well, it's a sad history, but nevertheless, it is a part of history.
It is indeed.
So, one of the reasons why we talk about it. I hope that that led to changes in the system. I wonder where they ended up, like, once everybody was, like, relocated, you know, what was the prison absorbing these prisoners? Well, like, you closed down the prison, but, like, there were still prisoners, you know, so where did they get relocated to?
I wonder. It only closed in 1990.
Like? Yeah, I know, so not even that long ago.
The year I was born.
Yeah.
I wonder where they went.
Yeah, me too. Interesting. All right. Well, that was good. I don't have my outro notes here in front of me, but if you're feeling so generous and you would like to send a Venmo, we have one at Haunted RE, and you'll see our little picture there. I don't know what you call that picture, icon, whatever. If you would like to send us a real estate story or a suggestion, you may do so at hauntedrepod@gmail.com. And if you'd like to follow us on Instagram, haunted.real.estate. Thank you guys so much for listening, and we will see you soon. Oh, I did, just in case you didn't listen to our last episode, we are acknowledging that we are posting episodes more sporadically. Do you always think of Clueless when you say that? Because I always think of Clueless.
Sporadically?
Hope not sporadically.
No.
Oh, okay. Never mind. So life is just getting to us, you know, but we do this for fun and we do it, you know, to spend time together and stuff like that. And, you know, we want you guys to stick around. So check out on Tuesdays to see if we've posted an episode. We will try to be as regular as possible while also trying to keep our sanity. But that is it, unless you have anything else to say.
That's a wrap.
That's a wrap. Bye-bye.
Bye.